Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers. And that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke.
I've met a lot of strange people in my travels away from San Francisco. Little did I realize that right here in my own hotel, I would meet the most unusual of them all.
Buck Benny, the two-fisted, quick-triggered marksman who shoots from the hip and never misses.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Welcome to another episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. I like the name of this one, Good Girl, Bad Company. And we were talking last week and the last few weeks about television shows that were the start of the adult westerns and things. I think it's interesting. In 1955, there were 12 different new westerns that came out that year for television. And the year before, there were just a few. I think this might have been sparked by the previous year. Davy Crockett came out by Disney, of course, and just caught the country by storm and took over, and everybody was wearing coonskin caps and the whole thing and singing the song. So I think maybe that had something to do with all these westerns coming out. Anyway, the westerns that came out in 1955 were The Adventures of Champion, which is the horse of Gene Autry. Then Brave Eagle came out and Buffalo Bill Jr. Frontier started up that season. Judge Roy Bean and Steve Donovan, Western Marshal, came out, as well as Sergeant Preston of the Yukon, which lasted for a number of seasons. Tales of the Texas Rangers, Fury, Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, Cheyenne, and of course Gunsmoke, with the longest lasting being Gunsmoke, with 635 episodes over 20 years. The next longest running one was Cheyenne, with only 108 episodes, because it was a rotating series that would rotate with other westerns and other shows, so it wouldn't be on every week. It'd be on a couple times a month, maybe, or even once a month. So that's why it had 108 shows over, 8 years, I guess, that it was on. And then there was a year there, too, where Clint Walker was on strike, and so they didn't film many episodes that year, I don't believe. And Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp only went for 6 years, but it had 229 episodes. That's pretty amazing. So each of these series that I've talked about, Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp, Cheyenne, Gunsmoke, those were the core of the adult westerns that were out, and they all came in out within weeks of each other. I did not realize that Life and Legend of Wyatt Earp came out like a week before Gunsmoke, so it was actually on the air first. And it starred Hugh O'Brien, and I talked about last week how it was a continuing adventure, so it was the first sort of serialized show that we're so used to now, where we stream shows and we binge watch them and so forth. This was the first one, as far as I know, maybe even on television, that was out, that was like that, and not just a Western, you know. Gunsmoke, of course, we know why that was interesting and spectacular. Cheyenne was the very first hour-long Western, but it was also the very first hour-long dramatic show with a reoccurring star in it. Clint Walker played Cheyenne. And I just think it's pretty cool. I never gave Cheyenne that much thought. I mean, I do have at least its first season somewhere in here on DVD, and I need to start watching that again, because I watched them and I liked them. But knowing it's from 1955, I would have guessed it was from a few years later than that. So it shows how well done it is to make it look like a Western that comes from a few years later. Anyway, without further ado, let's go ahead and get into this week's episode of Gunsmoke and Have Gun Will Travel. Enjoy, and we'll talk some more about television westerns next week.
Yeah. Gunsmoke, brought to you by L&M Filters. Make today your big red letter day. Change to L&M. Superior taste, superior filter. America's best filter tip cigarette. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. Why don't you open the door? Maybe you'll find out, Chester.
I never heard of nobody knocking on this door before.
It's Major Harris, Mr. Dillon, from Fort Dodge.
Come in, Major. Marshal Dillon. Sit down.
I'll stand, thanks. Marshal, last Saturday, two United States Army soldiers were murdered while driving a supply wagon from here to Fort Dodge. Government payroll was stolen. You seem to have taken no interest whatsoever in the matter.
Well, now, Major, protecting the Army isn't exactly my job.
The Army can protect itself, Marshal.
Then how come there were only two soldiers carrying your payroll? Where was the rest of your Army?
On maneuvers.
On maneuvers?
In my command, troops remain in garrison as little as possible.
And you were asking for trouble, Major, knowing there was a payroll coming in.
Marshal, the arrival of the payroll was secret. Even the two men carrying it didn't know what it was.
Somebody knew.
Yes, they did. Marshal, I regard this crime as a demonstration of your inability to control these Dodge City ruffians.
What?
I mean it. If no arrests are made in the matter, I'll give these bad men of yours a taste of martial law. We'll see how they like that.
Now, wait a minute,
this
Major.
This town will be patrolled 24 hours a day.
Look, Major, you don't know these men. You run the Army in here and they'll fight. There'll be trouble. Bad trouble.
They brought it on themselves.
No. You made a mistake and you got to find somebody to blame it on.
I want whoever committed those murders. And I want that money, Marshal, within a week. And if any more crimes are committed against the Army meantime, we'll take this town over at once. Good day, gentlemen.
Hello, Matt.
Evening, Kitty.
Marshal Dillon, Jenny. Matt, this is Jenny Lane.
How do you do, Jenny?
Pleased to meet you, Marshal.
Sit down, Matt.
You're new in Dodge, aren't you, Jenny?
Oh, I've been here most a month now.
Oh, she's only been working at the Long Branch about a week, Matt.
How do you like it?
Fine, but I'm kind of worried now.
Oh?
It's this Army business everybody's talking about. Will it be bad, Marshal?
Yeah, it could be.
You think it'll happen?
Might, especially if there's any more trouble.
Say, Jenny, has your corporal been in?
He was, earlier.
Well, how do the soldiers feel about all this?
Well, he says they sure aren't anxious to mix it with all these gunmen and buffalo hunters and the like. But he's not my corporal, Kitty. He's just a lonely kid.
He's not so lonely. He spends more time here than he does at the fort. How does he manage it, anyway?
Well, they made him a clerk, a sort of a bookkeeper. His time's pretty much his own.
Well, he's lucky. Good, safe job, too.
Yeah, I suppose it is. Well, I better get busy. I'm glad to have met you, Marshal.
Glad to have met you, Jenny.
I'll see you again.
Sure.
Nice girl.
Mm-hmm. Where's she from, Kitty?
Hayes City, last.
What, What's the name of this corporal who's been sniffing around?
Stark. Corporal Stark's all I ever heard.
Now, what else do you know about Jenny, huh?
She doesn't talk much about herself, Matt.
Well, maybe you can get her to, huh?
All right. I'll try.
Meantime, I'm going to wire the sheriff in Hayes City. He might know something.
You must have some reason for all this interest, Matt.
No, I haven't, Kitty. But I might find a reason before I'm through.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. Superior taste from tobaccos especially selected for filter smoking. Tobaccos that are richer, tastier, light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is white, pure white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M tobaccos, it actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Next time you buy cigarettes, look for the big red letters L&M. Smoke L&M filters, America's best filter tip cigarette.
L&M's got everything, get L&M today.
I got it, Mr. Dillon. Just come in.
Oh, what?
The answer to that telegraph you sent to Hayes City last night.
Oh?
Here.
Oh, thanks.
I don't know what it says or anything.
Yeah. Jenny Lane left Hayes about a month ago with a stranger called Nate Brand. Nothing against girl, but believe Brand a wild one. Regards, Clint Adams.
Never heard of no Nate Brand.
No, neither have I.
What's she doing, hiding him somewhere?
Oh, Matt.
Yeah, what is it, Doc?
Trouble.
Oh, what kind of trouble?
A shooting. Out behind the Texas Trail.
What?
It's bad, Matt. It's real bad.
And a shooting's always bad, Doc.
Yes, but this one's going to lead to a lot more shooting. Somebody just killed a soldier.
How come there's no crowd around here? There isn't a man in sight.
No.
Who told you about this, Doc?
The bartender. He said he heard a shot and went out back and found him.
He sure looks dead, all right.
He's dead.
Is that all the bartender had to say?
That's about all. Except that when he went back into the saloon and told everybody there about it, they didn't move a hair.
Well, I guess maybe they was thinking about the army taking over Dodge.
Yes.
Why didn't the bartender come to me first?
Well, I don't know, Matt, but I've got the feeling that maybe nobody knows whether you're going to be on their side or the army's.
Yeah, they never do trust me, do they? Chester.
Yes, sir?
Give Doc a hand here. I'm riding out to Fort Dodge.
Dillon.
Hello, Major.
What brings you to Fort Dodge, Marshal?
Murder.
What?
Murder.
A soldier?
Uh-huh.
Who?
I don't know. Some private.
In Dodge City, of course.
That's right.
Have you arrested the murderer?
Nobody saw it happen, Major.
I see. Well, Marshal, you leave me no choice.
Wait a minute, Major. I didn't ride out here just to bring you the news. I want something from you.
From me?
I want you to keep all the soldiers out of Dodge for the next 48 hours. Put it off limits.
That's not exactly what I had in mind.
Listen, Major, Dodge City's an armed camp. It's full of men who fought Indians, who fought the war between the states, who fought each other ever since they could spit. They'll fight you next. They'll make you hate it.
They can't fight the army.
They can and they will. And a lot of men will die on both sides. But I'll make you a deal, Major.
A deal?
You give me 48 hours and I'll find your killers. You better take it. Because it'll get you out of a lot of trouble.
All right. But I want the criminals delivered here. To me.
Sure. But I might have to kill them to get them here.
Matt! Oh, Matt!
Ah, hello, Doc.
I've been waiting for you to get back.
Oh, anything more happened?
Not yet, but I found a letter on that soldier. His name was Ravitch.
Oh, anything else?
Yes. I dug the bullet out of him, Matt. And you know something? I haven't seen lead like that since I mustered out in 65.
Now, what do you mean, Doc?
That soldier was shot with a cavalry pistol.
He was?
I'd swear to it.
Thanks, Doc. I'll see you later.
Well, now, where are you going?
Into the Long Branch. I want to talk to a friend of mine.
I've been expecting you, Matt.
Oh, have you, Kitty?
Chester was in a while ago. He told me about that telegram from Hayes City.
Look, Kitty, I got to work fast. There's going to be a war around here soon.
I found out a couple of interesting things, Matt. One is Jenny's been seen riding horseback at night towards the Arkansas down by Brandy Bend.
Oh?
It might have something to do with that man she left Hayes City with, Nate Brand.
Yeah.
I think he's hiding out down near Brandy Bend.
Any idea why?
Corporal Stark and Jenny went for a ride one night.
When was that?
The night before that army payroll was robbed.
Uh-huh. Where's Jenny now, Kitty?
Over at Delmonico's having supper.
Kitty.
What?
I'm the only one who can ever thank you for it, but... I think you just saved an awful lot of lives. Evening, Jenny.
Well, hello, Marshal. Won't you sit down?
You sure Corporal Stark won't mind?
Don't be silly. Besides, he's out at the fort.
Now, when'd you see him last?
Oh, about noon, I guess.
Uh-huh. Anybody with him?
Private Ravitch. Corporal Stark didn't shoot him, Marshal. They were good friends. They worked together in the bookkeeping office.
I see. That's a pretty good job, isn't it? Handling expenses, figuring out the payroll, things like that.
I don't know. He never talked about it much.
Also, he'd be in a good spot to know when to expect payroll money in, wouldn't he? Even when it was kept secret?
I'd have to ask him, Marshal. But, this isn't why you found me here, is it?
No, of course not, Jenny. I'm sorry. You look real pretty tonight.
Thank you, Marshal. You really mean that?
Sure. Sure I mean it.
Marshal, I have to work late tonight, but I can get off tomorrow. I know it's bold of me, but couldn't we maybe take a ride together? There'll be a moon.
Where would we ride to, Jenny?
Oh, I don't know. Anywhere. Maybe down along the Arkansas. I know. Let's ride down toward Brandy Bend.
All right, Jenny. We'll ride down toward Brandy Bend.
Make today your big red letter day, your L&M red letter day. Superior taste and filter, it's the miracle tip. Make today your big red letter day, change to L&M today.
L&M's got everything.
Superior taste.
And superior filter.
Get L&M today.
This is it. L&M, superior taste and filter. superior taste from tobaccos especially selected for filter smoking. Tobaccos that are richer, tastier, light and mild. And L&M's superior filter is white, pure white. Truly the miracle tip, because when it's added to L&M tobaccos, it actually improves your enjoyment of this great cigarette. Next time you buy cigarettes, look for the big red letters L&M. Smoke L&M filters, America's best filter tip cigarette.
L&M's got everything. Get L&M today.
The idea of a moonlight ride by the river with as pretty a girl as Jenny Lane was fine, except that it was going to end with a man dead. Either me or her friend, Nate Brand. She was obviously leading me into an ambush, and there wasn't a thing I could do but go cheerfully along. I met her the next night. We started out. But a mile or so before we got to Brandy Bend, I pulled up and suggested we dismount and let the horses blow a little.
They won't run away, will they?
The horses? No. Now, don't worry. Ah, here's a good place to sit. What's the matter? You nervous, Jenny?
No. No, of course not.
Ah, sit down. Take it easy, then.
All right. This better?
Sure. Yeah, it's a nice night, isn't it?
Yeah. That's beautiful.
You're not even looking at it. Something on your mind, Jenny?
No. Why should there be?
Why, you tell me.
That's nothing, Marshal. Really.
Let me ask you something, Jenny. Did you ever see a man killed?
What? Why'd you say that?
What, did you?
Yeah, once in a saloon.
Tell me, did he have a fair chance?
Of course, he even drew first.
Then you never saw a man shot in the back or ambushed, huh?
What are you driving at, Marshal?
Oh, I'm just thinking about people, Jenny. Like, sometimes a person isn't really bad. He just falls into bad company.
What's that got to do with me?
And I think it sort of goes against your grain, the idea of a man being killed without a fair chance.
Why'd you come with me, Marshal?
Somebody had to.
I suppose you know about everything.
I think Private Ravitch got killed by Corporal Stark because he found out about the payroll deal between you and Stark and Nate Brand.
Sure. Well, what are you going to do now?
I'm going to ride to Brandy Bend with you.
But why?
Because I'm gambling that you're still decent enough inside to let me have that fair chance I was talking about.
That's quite a gamble, Marshal.
Yeah? But we'll ride slow. And you'll have a little time to think about it. Yeah, it'd make a nice camp down here. Plenty of wood, get your water right out of the river there. It's real nice, don't you think, Jenny? Man could hide out real easy down here.
Marshal.
I could be safe here even while the army was trying to move into Dodge and a lot of men were being killed over it. Yeah, it's real peaceful down here.
Marshal, I can't do it.
All right, tell me, Jenny.
That big cottonwood up ahead. On the left.
Okay. Now, keep moving. When we get close, I'm going to ride ahead fast. You stay back out of gunfire.
All right.
Yeah, it sure is pretty down here, Jenny. Maybe someday we can come down and go fishing, huh? This river's full of catfish. You ever eat a real catfish dinner? That can be mighty good if we're small enough. All right, stay back, Jenny!
Thank you.
Jenny! Jenny!
He's dead, Jenny.
Oh, God, no.
I had to do it.
I know. I'll be all right, Marshal.
Sure.
He killed your horse. I'll show you where he hid his and the payroll money.
Okay, Jenny.
Then you can take me back to jail.
Yeah. But there's one thing, Jenny. What you did tonight's going to get you out of jail real soon. Because I'm going to see you get your chance, too.
And now our star, William Conrad.
I'm telling you, the day you change to L&M, well, that's the day. Your big red letter day. No filter stacks up with L&M's pure white miracle tip. And I know you'll go for L&M's taste, superior taste you get from L&M's superior tobaccos. Richer, tastier tobaccos. Next time, look for those big red letters on the L&M pack.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Virginia Christine and John Daner. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty.
Smoking with a smile with Chesterfield. Smoother, cooler, milder Chesterfield. Put a smile in your smoking, just give them a try.
Chesterfield's best for you,
they satisfy.
If you want tomorrow's better cigarette today, next time you buy cigarettes, stop. Remember, only Chesterfield is made the modern way with Accuray. You'll notice how fresh and good Chesterfield's made with Accuray taste, how smooth they are, and how they satisfy. So buy Chesterfield today. Smoother, cooler, best for you. Recently, many of your cards and letters have requested an evening time for Gunsmoke Radio. In response to these requests, the makers of Chesterfield and L&M Filters will now also bring you Gunsmoke every Sunday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time. So now you can take your choice and hear Gunsmoke transcribed at the time that is most convenient, either on Sunday evenings or Saturday at this time. And remember, the makers of Chesterfield and L&M Filters also present Gunsmoke for your enjoyment on television. Tonight, watch an entirely different Gunsmoke show on the CBS television network. Check your local TV listings for time and channel.
The people of a town don't form committees and go around shooting men for the reasons you've given me. It doesn't make sense.
have gun, will travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875. The Carlton Hotel, headquarters of the man called Paladin.
Mr. Paladin.
Good morning, hey boy.
I was just coming up to your room.
Well, I decided to have breakfast in the dining room this morning.
Oh, yes, a telegram come for you.
Oh, thank you. Hey, what's the matter with your neck? Why do you keep rubbing it?
Hey boy, I missy won't go for walk in moonlight last night.
Well, what's that got to do with it?
Oh, we go looking for falling stars, hold heads back too long. Get his stiffy neck.
Miss Wong, too?
Why, Isa?
Well, was it worth it? Did you see any falling stars?
Hey, Isa, one.
Did you make a wish?
Wish?
Yeah. It's an old custom. When you see a falling star, you make a wish, and it's supposed to come true.
Oh, how? Hey, boy, not know this. Must look again. I have many wishy to make.
Yes, well, not too long at a time, hey, boy. You might wind up with your head in a permanent stargazing position.
Oh, Isa. You send answer to telegram?
Oh, yeah, let's see. Need your help. They're going to murder my friend Sam Crow. Hurry, signed, Skeeter Hickshaw.
Who?
Skeeter Hickshaw, hey boy, an old prospector friend of mine.
Oh, he sound very upset.
Hey boy, when Skeeter sends a telegram for help, he's not only upset, he's desperate.
Most Americans are proud of their country and of its high standard of living. Today, we have more leisure time, more extensive and better highways and recreational facilities than ever before. We are also proud of our country's scenic beauty. But do we always remember to keep it beautiful? Whenever we throw fruit skins, candy wrappers, or tissues from an automobile window, or leave a pile of litter at the beach, in a park, or along a stream, we are actually destroying the country's beauty. What's more, we're endangering health and safety. A piece of paper thrown from the window of one car can blow against the windshield of the automobile behind it and cause an accident. Objects lying half hidden in grass or in the sand at the beach are safety hazards. Won't you help keep America clean and beautiful? Here's how. Carry a litter bag in your car for travel trash and always dispose of litter in a proper receptacle. This is your country. Take care of it, so you'll continue to be proud of it.
Skeeter Hickshaw lived in the small town of Hamburg, near the Oregon border. He was one of the lucky few miners who had managed to save enough money from prospecting to retire in a reasonably comfortable manner. I had first met him some years before in Nevada. We became good friends, and it wasn't long after that when he gave up prospecting and settled down to a life of relaxation. It was late afternoon when I finally arrived at his place in Hamburg. Hey, what?
Yeah, I ain't gonna miss next time, mister.
Hey.
So you just climb back in that saddle and move out.
Hey, Skeeter, is that you?
You heard what I said. Now get.
Now, hold on. It's me, Paladin.
I don't care who, Paladin. Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Oh, come on in.
Are you sure it's safe?
Well, of course it's safe. God dang you. It's about time you got here, too.
Hi, Skeeter.
Oh, I'm glad to see you. Come on in.
You shoot at everybody that comes to your place?
Oh, now, you know I didn't know that as you. No, I figured with some shifty character they'd hired to get Sam.
Yeah, what's this all about, Skeeter?
Why, Dad, they're fixing to shoot him, that's what. But they ain't going to get away with it, the god dang fools, no siree. I tell you, I wouldn't get you. Oh, now, see there? Look at me getting all riled up already. Now, I ain't even seen you in a coon's age. Yeah, grab yourself a chair there, Paladin. I got some coffee going, if you can stand it.
Why not? I always said your coffee was a test of a man's strength, and after being shot at, I want to see if I've got any left.
Yeah, sure. You ain't changed none at all since I last seen you.
Oh, I've changed. We all do, Skeeter.
Yeah, well, you ain't... You ain't lost your shooting irons, have you? I say you ain't lost that, because that's what I'm going to need.
Yeah, why do you need me, Skeeter? Who is this friend of yours somebody's after?
Sam Crow, and he is the best dang friend I ever had.
Fine, fine, but what's his problem?
Oh, they formed a stinking committee, that's why. I say that's what, and they aim to shoot Sam.
Why? What's he done that's so bad?
Nothing, nothing. Leastwise, nothing that deserves him being shot.
Well, he must have done something, Skeeter. What was it?
He took a few things here and there.
He took a few things? Like what?
Well, you know, jewelry and things. Oh, but folks always get everything back. Yeah, I say, I always give it back.
You always give it back?
Yeah, Sam brings the stuff here, so I give it back.
All right, your friend Sam is a thief. Now, what else?
That's all, I tell you, that's all. Oh, well, except maybe he does kind of cuss at the ladies a little.
Cuss at the... Skeeter, nothing you've said makes any sense. The people of a town don't form committees and go around shooting men for the reasons you've given me.
Yo, well, they do in this town, and it ain't the town's people. It's the town's women.
Women?
Yeah.
You mean this committee you're talking about is made up of women?
Oh, they are the ordinariest bunch of females I have ever seen.
Now, look.
I tell you, pal, that I ain't never seen nothing like it. Just a passel of busybodies. That's what they
Skeeter,
are.
Skeeter.
I ain't never shot a woman before, but I'm sure enough thinking about it now. I tell
Skeeter.
You, honey.
Skeeter.
Huh?
Will you calm down a minute?
Oh, calm down a minute. How would you feel if your best friend was going to be shot?
Well, maybe he won't be shot. Now, there's got to be more to this than you're telling.
But there ain't, I tell you.
All right, where is this friend of yours? Is he hiding out somewhere?
Hiding? Heck no, he's right in the next room.
In the next room? Well, get him in here. Maybe if I hear his side of it, this whole thing will make some sense.
I have told you everything there is to tell.
Just get him in here, will you, Skeeter?
Oh, sure. Paladin, you're just as stubborn as you ever was.
Close the door! Oh,
hey, what?
Now,
the...
now, come here, Sam. Come here. Yeah, that's your boy.
Now, well, here he is, Paladin.
You mean this?
Shoot him! Shoot him, tell you!
Is it a crow? Sam Crow is a bird?
Well, I never said he wasn't.
All the way from San Francisco, you make me come all the way from San Francisco because you were worried about a bird?
Daddy, he ain't a bird. He's Sam Crow, and he's my friend.
Skeeter, it took me 4 days of hard riding to get here. 4 days, and all because I thought you needed my help.
Well, I do need your help, but you can gall dang well get if that's the way you feel about
it. Well, maybe I will.
Well, go on then. See if I care. Say, see if I care. What do you know about friends? How would you know about how I found this poor critter lying outside all broke up and hurt and how I fixed him up? And then I learned him how to talk and all. Say, learn him how to talk. I'll tell you something, Paladin. All my life I've been lonely. But with Sam, I ain't lonely no more. That's the kind of friend he is.
Skeeter, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he meant that much to you.
Well, he does.
Well, now tell me, who is in charge of this women's committee that wants to shoot Sam? I think I'll have a talk with her tomorrow.
Oh, it won't do no good. I tried talking to her.
What's her name, Skeeter?
Pennybrook. Mrs. Maud Pennybrook. Any, I guess there's something else you should know.
What's that?
Well, Mrs. Pennybrook seems to have an in particular special hate for Sam Crow. And I guess cause Sam keeps calling her by a special name.
What's that?
Well, guess it ain't very nice, but, there's no need for me to repeat it in front of him now.
Oh, yeah, I see. Now, who taught him this special name in the first place?
I did, but I've been trying to unteach him ever since, but he doesn't want to change.
Yeah, I understand. And I can't say I really blame this Mrs. Pennybrook for being offended.
Ain't no cause to shoot him.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
The next day, when I went to Mrs. Pennybrook's house, a committee meeting regarding Sam Crow was in progress. When I introduced myself and told the ladies I was there in behalf of Skeeter Hickshaw, the reception I got was anything but friendly, although I did notice one little lady they called Winifred who seemed more curious than angry. I tried to explain to the committee that Sam Crow was more than just a pet to Skeeter, and perhaps something could be worked out other than shooting the bird. However, my plea was met with cold stares, and from Mrs. Pennybrook, some harsh words.
Paladin, huh? You look like a gunfighter to me. Is that what you are, a gunfighter?
Mrs. Pennybrook, I came here to try to find a solution to a problem, not to discuss personality.
Well, the only solution is to kill that bird, and that's just what's going to happen.
Yes,
but...
Now, Maud, I think it's only fair that we listen to Mr. Paladin's suggestion.
Well, that's fine for you to say, Winifred Merriwell. That thieving crow hasn't stolen anything from you.
Oh, now, that isn't so. Just the other day, he flew in through my window and took a bracelet off the bureau, but I got it back. Mr. Hickshaw always gives everything back.
Well, I'll wager his precious bird doesn't swear at you every time you walk down the street.
Oh, I've heard my share. After all, Mr. Hickshaw and Sam spend a certain amount of time in the saloon. It's only natural the bird would pick up some undesirable language.
Now, you listen to me, Winifred. We've already decided that crow has to be removed. So if you don't agree, then you can just retire from the committee.
Yeah, that's right. But... Well, I think it's silly. That poor bird doesn't know he's doing wrong.
Well, we all know it.
Ladies, Mrs. Pennybrook, let's be reasonable, shall we?
Reasonable? Is that what Skeeter Hickshaw was when he hired a gunfighter like you to protect that silly crow?
Mrs. Pennybrook, he didn't hire me.
Well, you're here, aren't you?
Well,
just let me tell you something, Mr. Paladine, or whatever your name is. If Skeeter Hickshaw can get someone like you, then so can we, and we'll do it. Just mark my words, we'll do it.
Now, shut up, Sam.
Shut up!
I'm sorry, Skeeter. I tried.
Well, I told you 'twere no use talking. Them busybodies just ain't gonna listen.
Oh, there was one who wanted to listen.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
Her name was Winifred Merriwell.
Well, is that a fact? Well, what do you know about that?
Look, Skeeter, couldn't you take Sam out of town for a while? Just long enough till things cool down?
No, sir. God dang it. No, sir. I got a right to keep Sam, and I aim to do it. There ain't nobody gonna be... Well, I'll be...
What's the matter?
Look at there. Here comes that Mrs. Pennybrook, and there's a man with her.
Yeah, so I see. He's carrying a gun, too.
Well, you damn stinking old biddies. They went out and hired a gunfighter.
Yeah. You stay here, Skeeter. I'll go out and talk to them.
No, sir. Me and Sam, we'll go with you.
Well, all right. Suit yourself.
Well, Mr. Hickshaw, are you ready to give up that crow peacefully, or do we have to take it by force?
Ain't nobody gonna take Sam.
How about it, mister? You gonna make me shoot that crow right off your shoulder?
That wouldn't be very smart.
Oh? I suppose you're the one they call Paladin, huh?
That's right.
And my name's Turlock. Wiley Turlock.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
You ever hear me?
Should I have?
Most folks around here know the name. They consider it kind of unhealthy to argue with me.
Oh?
Now, Mrs. Pennybrook here... She and that ladies' committee hired me to shoot him a crow. Now I aim to do it.
And you better aim at something else, Turlock.
Hey, now. Guess you didn't hear real clear what I said, Paladin.
You know what I think, Turlock? I think you're full of a lot of talk. And that's all.
I told you, mister, folks hereabouts don't consider it healthy to go against me.
Well, I don't happen to be from around here, Turlock. So if you've got any notions about shooting Sam Crow, you better figure on drawing on me first.
Now, look.
Now, don't you let him talk to you like that, Mr. Turlock.
No, shut up, lady.
What?
How about it, Turlock?
I...
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, suppose you just turn around and get out of here before you get in real trouble.
Now, don't listen to him.
Oh, there ain't no sense having a shootout over a little bird.
Shoot him! Shoot him!
I'm leaving.
Mr. Turlock! You come back here! Come back here this instant, do you hear?
He's not coming back, Mrs. Pennybrook.
Well, I never...
Old Biddy! Take it, old Biddy!
That bird! That nasty blackbird.
Well, his manners ain't the best, Mrs. Pennybrook, but just because he swears a little, and just because he stole some of your jewelry, ain't no reason to try and shoot him.
Oh, that bird is a thief, Skeeter Hickshaw, and he'll be punished just like any other criminal. I tell you, he will. You mark my words.
Mr.
Over 3 decades of travel, keen observing, frontline reporting of virtually every world crisis, and a natural-born flair for word artistry, these are the prime assets of one of the great veterans of CBS News, Mr. Lowell Thomas. Monday through Friday evenings, Lowell Thomas offers the latest news in detail and depth, plus his own witty, seasoned comment on each story. There's no substitute for experience, indeed no substitute for Lowell Thomas when it comes to news in full sound color on CBS Radio and this station.
Well, where the goddang heck have you been?
Trapping.
Trapping?
Trapping.
What's that you got there?
That, Skeeter, is a crow.
Huh?
A wild crow.
Well, what did you trap him for?
Remember I told you about Winifred Merriwell and how she was on your side at the committee meeting the other day?
Yes, but I don't see...
Well, I talked to her yesterday and she told me Mrs. Pennybrook had gone over to Horse Creek and picked up a court order.
What kind of a court order?
One that declares Sam Crow a public nuisance.
Well, of all the low-down, miserable, goddamn tricks I ever heard of...
Now, just calm down. Maybe we can save Sam yet.
Well, how are you going to do it? Just how?
Well, that's why I trapped this wild crow. We're going to switch him with Sam.
Switch him? What good's that? Oh, I get you. When that old biddy comes in with a court order, we'll give her this here wild bird instead of Sam.
That's it exactly, Skeeter.
That's pretty smart, pal. Did I say yes, sir? Pretty smart.
Now, the only thing is, we're going to have to move Sam out of here for a while.
Now, hold on. I told you before, I ain't going to do that.
Even if we leave him with Winifred Merriwell? She offered to keep him for you for a while.
No, I don't like it. Sam ain't used to females.
Well, maybe it'd be good for Sam to be around a woman for a while. Skeeter, he might learn some decent language.
Well, I suppose he could stand that right enough.
Who knows? He might even learn to give up stealing.
Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be something. All right, Paladin, I'll do her. I'll let that Winifred Merriwell take care of Sam for a while. But just a while, mind you.
Good. Now, where's we...
Skeeter Hickshaw!
Yo, Skeeter Hick, that sounds like old Pennybrook.
You come outside and bring that nasty bird with you. I have something to show you.
Where's Sam, Skeeter?
He's locked up in the next room.
All right, we'll leave him there for now. Here, you carry this cage with a wild crow.
Yeah.
You heard me! Skeeter Hickshaw, get out here!
Of course I hear you, you goddang female. Everybody in town can hear you.
Well, what's that you got?
It's the crow. You yelled at me to bring him out, didn't you?
Well, why is he in a cage? He's never been in a cage before.
Where's the rest of your busybody committee? I don't see him, Norris.
Well, I'm the chairman, so it's my duty to do what has to be done. Besides, I got a court order to get rid of that old crow.
We all know about that.
Very well, then, since you know, are you prepared to let me shoot the bird?
Sure.
What?
I said sure. What's the matter, you deef?
There's something strange here.
Look, you got the court order and you brung a gun. Now you're going to shoot the goddamn crower, ain't you?
Well, I still say there's something strange. You're too eager.
Mrs. Pennybrook, there's just one thing.
Oh?
Since this poor bird has to be shot, I think it'd be only fair to take him out of his cage, let him sit on the porch rail. That way he can die where he's happiest.
Well, it doesn't matter to me. Put him there if you want.
That's very kind of you. Skeeter, let him out.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, he's flying away!
Well, you better hurry up and shoot. You ain't a very good shot, are you?
You knew that crow would fly away. You know it!
Oh, now, you got the court order, Mrs. Pennybrook, so you're welcome to take a pot shot at that crow anytime you see him flying around. Yes, sir. Say, just any time at all. Ain't that right, Paladin?
Oh, the law says she's got that right.
Oh, you crusty old man.
You better practice up on your shooting, you old biddy. Yeah, I tell you. Oh, that did my heart good.
Well, I don't think your troubles are over, Skeeter. When she finds out that Sam Crow is still around, it'll start all over again.
Yeah, golly, you're right. What am I going to do?
As I said before, why don't you take him over to Winifred? Maybe she has a suggestion.
Uh-huh. Why don't you go over and talk to her?
Ooh, not me, Skeeter. I think I've had enough of Sam Crow. No offense, mind you, but I do have to get back to San Francisco.
Hello? Paladin?
Hmm? Oh, good evening, Miss Wong.
Someone is looking for you, sir.
Oh?
Hey, boy, try to find you in dining room. Missy Wong, try to find you in lobby.
Well, it looks like you're the winner, Miss Wong.
The winner, Missy Wong.
Now, who wants to see me?
Oh, old gentleman, sir, with whiskers.
Old gentleman with whiskers.
Yes, sir. He carrying a bird on shoulder.
Mm-hmm. Carrying a bird?
Yes, sir.
Carrying a bird.
Hey, Bert Paladin.
What? Oh, there he is, sir. Excuse, please.
You, Paladin, God dang you.
Skeeter.
Yeah, I've been looking all over for you.
Well, what the devil are you doing in San Francisco? I left you in Hamburg 4 weeks ago.
Well, what's the matter? Can't a fella come into big city once in a while?
Well, sure, but what?
Big city! Big city!
Well, I see Sam's still alive. Did his visit with Winifred Merriwell help his language any?
Oh, yeah, it helped that right now. Yeah, and it helped his stealing, too.
Oh, well, then everything worked out fine.
Oh, it did. I say it did, huh? Well, let me tell you something. This gall-dang bird got to liking that female.
Oh?
Yes, he got to liking her so much he didn't want to come back to my place with me. And after all I'd done for him, too.
Well, how did you get him back?
How did I get him back?
Yeah.
What do you think I'm in San Francisco for? I'm on my honeymoon, that's what.
The honeymoon?
Yes, you're all dang right. That's the only way I could get this bird back. Sure, I had to marry Winifred.
Married her! Married her!
Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
That reminds me of a tip I've been meaning to give you. Whenever you buy Pepsi-Cola, get an extra carton. This is the secret of effortless entertaining. You know by now that as the parties go, so goes the Pepsi. So face reality and be ready for any number of thirsts by making sure there's always plenty of the light refreshment on hand. People go for Pepsi because it refreshes without filling and does it in such a good-tasting way. Come to think of it, why not buy a case of Pepsi? Then maybe there'll be enough for you to have some, too.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Gun Will Travel, created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris and stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun Will Travel by Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Irene Tedrow, Jack Moyles, Shirley Mitchell, John James, and Forrest Lewis. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.